Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Tuesday, May 2nd, 2017. More fighting threatens to tear communities apart in Buma and neighboring Jonglei State.
We had a peace conference on the 1st of December in Bibor, and the idea was to make sure the local authorities took over on control of criminals, either from Jonglei or Buma State.
And Sudan's information minister says his president can help end the fighting in neighboring South Sudan.
The nature of the struggle in Juba and everything, we know it very well. We know all the parts. So he is quite actually eligible to call all the strugglers to Khartoum and to finish this.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Buma State government officials say armed youth from neighboring Jonglei State have attacked Kochar and Manbol villages and are advancing towards other areas. Buma's information minister says heavily armed youth have been attacking Kochar and Manbol since Friday and took control of the two villages on Monday. He also accuses Jonglei of state officials of supporting the youth, a charge Jonglei government officials deny. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Juba.
Buma State Information Minister John Achon admits his state is not in control of Kochar and Manibol. Speaking in Arabic by phone from Pibor town, Achon says heavily armed youth from Bor town attacked the area, burning houses and looting properties. He accused the Jonglei officials of helping the armed youth.
The way how these youth are armed has a lot of questions. They have come on Land Cruiser pickups and with heavy weapons, including PKM. So tells me that they are being backed up by some people. How can civilians have access to a heavy weapon if it is not given to them by government officials?
In early March, armed youth suspected of being from Jonglei's Bor County attacked the nearby Kochar County. Residents say they stole nearly 25,000 head of cattle, burned down grass hedge huts. Thousands of civilians fled in fear of their lives. Achon says, unlike other officials in neighboring states, the Buma State government supports the national dialogue announced by President Salva Kiir late last year.
The country is now going towards the national dialogue. So who is that other person who doesn't listen to the call of the national dialogue? If they are part of the government, they should respect the call of the president. This is a clear violation on the call of the president if he calls for dialogue and others are calling for war.
Jonglei State Information Minister Akech Dengdit denies his government support any armed youth from Bor, but says he is aware cattle owners from Bor might have gone to look for their stolen cattle. Dengdit accuses youth from Bibor in Buma State of stealing more than 16,000 head of cattle and says they abducted nearly 200 children since December.
Not true. We have not support anything like that. What we have said before, last year, December, we had a peace conference on the 1st of December in Bibor. And the idea was to make sure the local authority took over on control of criminals, either from Jonglei or Buma State. But the mostly criminals are from Buma State who come here and raid the cattle and abduct the children.
Dengdit says the only way to end the tension is through peaceful dialogue between leaders of each state.
We need to talk and end this thing because accusing that and this is not going to help. Because for them it's known, like, well, they come here and kill women, take children, and take the cattle. It is a history that relating is their way to do it, and they cannot stop their people. But no, we are in 21st century, and we have a nation with a constitution that now it's not what you think. Your subjective doesn't work. It's the objective for the country that works.
John Kajach, a pastor with Presbyterian Church in Boma State, confirmed fighting is still going on in the area. Kajach worries about the civil population caught up in the fighting.
This day there is no rain, and those of cattle keepers, they move to the place of water pond, and some people just remain, and they have nothing to use for a food item. The situation really is getting very bad.
Kajach is urging the government leaders in Jonglei and Boma states to find a quick solution to end the tension between the two communities before more lives are lost. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or OCHA, is calling on the warring parties in South Sudan to protect civilians displaced by fighting in a brooch in former Upper Nile State. The OCHA's deputy head of mission in South Sudan says those displaced in Abroch live in constant fear of being attacked again by soldiers. Tito Justin has this report for VOA from Juba.
OCHA says thousands of civilians are moving towards Sudan out of fear of facing further attacks by men in uniform. OCHA's deputy head of mission in South Sudan, Gemma Canal, says a humanitarian team has reached Abroch and has seen what she calls the desperate plight of vulnerable civilians in the area.
Thousands of civilians, particularly women and children, who are living out in the open under the trees. The main humanitarian concern is, of course, the fact that there's very little water available in Abroch, so people are collecting very dirty groundwater, all that they can get from the hand-dug wells that they have. But the biggest concern from our perspective is protection. So there are thousands of civilians here, and our biggest fear is, of course, that they could be attacked.
Canal says right now, there is no fighting in Abroch, but fighting continued on West Bank of Upper Nile and Kodok over the weekend. She says civilians displaced in Abroch live in fear of attacks and further displacement by step-up fighting in the area. She is calling on the government and armed opposition groups to respect civilians and ensure that they are not caught in the crossfire.
Right now, the civilians are incredibly scared because of the fighting that's been ongoing on the West Bank. They're deeply fearful that they could be next and that they could be attacked.
OCHA says humanitarian organizations relocated their staff from Kodoko and Abroch last month amid heavy fighting on the West Bank of the River Nile. Canal calls on all warring parties to abide by international humanitarian law, which requires combatants to protect civilians and aid workers.
Under international law, the first and primary responsibility for the protection of civilians in any country is the government. That all parties to the conflict, not just the government is the primary duty bearer, so that it must protect the civilians, but also that the other party to the conflict and the non-state armed actors in the area, that they ensure that any areas where we have large numbers of civilians remain demilitarized so that they cannot become the target of attack in the event of conflict in the area.
Canal says if civilians are protected, aid agencies can continue to deliver aid to those most in need across the country. But she says humanitarian aid workers are still facing challenges in many parts of the country.
Like Abroch or the locations in Jonglei last week, it's very, very difficult for humanitarians to remain on ground when active fighting is ongoing. We often have to relocate staff. We also face serious challenges with the looting of humanitarian assets. This also just happened in Abroch.
OCHA is asking the warring parties to return all humanitarian assets looted in the Abroch area during recent fighting. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
Sudanese President Omar Hassan al-Bashir says his government is ready to intervene in South Sudan to end the war and provide food to families affected by famine recently declared in parts of the country. As Nabil Biagio reports for VOA from Juba, Mr. Bashir says he has the ability to bring peace to South Sudan.
Mr. Bashir made the remarks about South Sudan at the end of his party convention over the weekend. The president noted his party and government signed the peace agreement that later allowed South Sudan to become independent. He says he has a moral responsibility towards the citizens of South Sudan to help them. Sudanese Information Minister Ahmed Bilal says President Bashir wants to end the fighting in South Sudan.
We are the only country who knows every detail about the South. because we were one country. The nature of the struggle in Juba and everything, we know it very well. We know all the paths. So he is quite actually eligible to call all the strugglers to Khartoum and to finish this.
South Sudan in Focus reached South Sudan's government spokesman Michael Makwe for comment, but Mr. Makwe declined to comment on the remarks of the Sudanese president. Mr. Bashir said he was in talks with his Western friends who are all pushing him to intervene in South Sudan. Bilal says President Bashir has influence on the two major warring parties in South Sudan.
The European Community and USA and others, actually, they're making a lot of pressure on the president to intervene. And I think now our relations with America are improving. And they know very well that the president has a weight and consideration by both sides.
A Juba-based political analyst says Sudan is the most important neighbor of South Sudan. Abraham Awalich says at least five of the original 10 states that made up South Sudan shared a border with Sudan. But he says Khartoum's influence is not all positive.
It is the largest neighbor of the Republic of South Sudan. And as well, it is the country that we came out from, got our independence from. And so we have a lot of historical ties and cultural ties, but we also have a lot of baggage from Sudan.
Awalich says, after South Sudan became independent, its northern border with Sudan became a source of insecurity, and many South Sudanese rebels have sought refuge and support from Sudan. He says, if Mr. Bashir wants to truly help bring peace to South Sudan, he should make sure his country does not support rebels trying to attack the South Sudan government.
Much of the problems we are facing in South Sudan either was carried over from Sudan or was actually fueled by Sudan itself. And so if they have decided to intervene and to help the country in a peaceful manner, not in a military manner, then maybe it is possible. You could see peace coming to South Sudan.
Awalich says it is important for Sudan and South Sudan to work together to make sure either side does not support its neighbor's opposition. Both Sudan and South Sudan have rebels fighting their governments. Recently, Sudan accused President Kiir of meeting with leaders of the SPLM North rebels who are fighting the government of Sudan in the Nuba Mountains and Blue Nile State. Juba denied the accusations. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at a political row in Imatong State Assembly. Find out what is happening there. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what have your past relationships, personal or professional, taught you?
The one thing that I've learned is we can do a lot of things when we find the right person.
My past relationship has taught me to respect other people's, like my attitude towards them, learn to respect everyone.
These relationships have taught me a lot because I interact with people from different cultural backgrounds. So it has helped me to learn other people's cultural beliefs and ideas.
You can learn from like a hard worker, you can be a hard worker, and then you can learn how to handle your bad situation. You can learn how to control them. Even you can learn how to trust.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. It's time for our Tuesday health segment, and today we are talking about Ebola vaccine. A group of experts that met at the World Health Organization last week recommends the use of promising experimental Ebola vaccine in future outbreaks of the fatal disease. The Strategic Advisory Board of Experts on Immunization, known as SAGE, also issued recommendations on the use of vaccine for polio, cholera, and diphtheria. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from the WHO headquarters in Geneva.
The 2013 Ebola outbreak in West Africa killed 11,300 people, highlighting the need for a vaccine to get control of this deadly virus. Of 12 candidate vaccines, only one, which was tested in Guinea, reportedly has proven to be clinically effective. However, the chair of SAGE and WHO senior health advisor Alejandro Cravioto notes the vaccine is not yet licensed. Therefore, it should only be used under strict conditions, such as informed consent.
That means people have to sign that saying that they want to take the vaccine, and under the conditions that we call good clinical practices, we still have something that could really be of help in case we have something that could happen in the near future.
Cravioto tells VOA this vaccine could be a game changer because it has demonstrated its effectiveness and its impact in a particular setting with a particular species of Ebola.
It is important to keep in mind that we are not recommending, or SAGE is not recommending currently, and there's no evidence to recommend wide-scale use of the vaccine and to again start to vaccinate before occurrence of outbreak. We have no idea of the duration of protection that's afforded by the vaccine to start with.
SAGE recommends the so-called ring strategy that was used in the 1970s to eradicate smallpox to deliver the Ebola vaccine. This involves vaccinating people who are infected with the virus and all those who have come in contact with them. This method creates a buffer zone or protective ring around the patient to prevent the spread of infection. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The Imatong state governor is threatening to close the state assembly for an indefinite period of time unless the assembly speaker resigns. Tabiolo Alberio Oromo says his government cannot work with the speaker because of what he calls personal weaknesses. State lawmakers accuse the governor of trying to take the law into his own hands. Dimo Silva Aurelio has the story for VOA from Torit.
For the past months, tensions have been running high among state lawmakers. Members are divided over the governor's demand that the speaker resign. Governor Alberio says he cannot work with Speaker Ben Loki Palatino.
To maintain a well-balanced distribution of power and to keep peace and peaceful coexistence. As you come from one county and from one party, go and ask the speaker to humble himself and step for another county. It will not be good for the two of you to occupy the top positions from one county.
The governor and the speaker are from the same county, but Assembly Speaker Ben Loki Palatino says he will not step down. Loki says the governor has no right to interfere with the work of the assembly.
The assembly as an institution has got its own law. We are following the conduct of business, not anything. And the laws are well stipulated. So if you throw this, for example, he's saying, I have to resign. Where do I resign? On the street? Or I have to resign in parliament? I cannot resign on the street. So it really defeats logic. What's the point then of having this conduct of business? If there's any crime at all that I've committed, it is the members of the assembly to decide. If the reasons are well stipulated, well convincing, beyond reasonable doubt, yes. But if the reasons are not, I can't.
The state constitution stipulates that the governor is to inaugurate the opening or closure of all assembly sessions. Out of the 24 members, 15 lawmakers say the decision is unconstitutional and undermines the independency of the assembly. 9 House members support the move. Angela Achiro is a member of the Imatong State Assembly. Achiro says the move is unconstitutional and the governor should respect the state constitution.
Let the governor open the parliament. In case there is any burning issues in regard to the position of the speakership, it has to be resolved in the parliament by the member of parliament. I think this is a peaceful means of resolving conflict based on rule of law. We cannot take law in our hands. We have to use the law to resolve conflicts. Parliament is an independent institution. The governor has no right to exercise his power on the legislature.
But Governor Alberio insists his speaker, Benloki Palatino, must resign.
I called the SPLM deputy chairperson, my deputy, and I briefed him on that, and I directed him as a party to write to the right honorable speaker to humble himself and step down so that the parliament will be open. And that is the procedure. The parliament will be open to allow the honorable members to select their leader from other county so that the parliament continue with its normal sittings.
Alberio says the speaker has no capacity to lead the assembly and work with the Imotong state executive.
I need to work with somebody who really work for the interests of the people, not for his own interests or for the political interests. Since this parliament was reconstituted, up to today, the leadership of the parliament did not even concern with the suffering of the people. Yes, I was the member of parliament, and I was in the security committee member. All the insecurity that was happening, I was writing down until we come with the urgent and important matter to be tabled in the parliament, because it comes from the committee and be approved by the speaker. He cancel urgent and important matter. With this, I say, this is a kind of a leader that will not work with me. If he was even to come from another county, because of these weaknesses, I cannot work with him.
Imotong state lawmaker Severino Maira agrees with the governor.
The two cannot work. They cannot work parallel. They should work. They see into it that if we are to balance the power, the speaker has to step down. It is necessary for the speaker to step down so that the assembly can be open.
State lawmaker Alphonse Muras insists such a move would violate the constitution. Muras says the governor must open the assembly so that issues like insecurity and hunger can be addressed honestly and openly.
Parliament will not be free. The parliament will not speak the right thing to the people, because here we represent the will of the people. And even now, it is a problem. There are numerous issues in the state. There are a lot of insecurities, a lot of hunger. People have left the state because of hunger. People left the state because of threats.
Members of civil society groups and Imotong residents say the crisis in the assembly is a sign that yet another conflict could spread across the state.
For me, as an ordinary citizen of Torite town, of course, both the governor, you know, they are supposed to also know the constitution of South Sudan. That speaker is elected by the people, by the members of parliament, and the parliament also has powers to take him out. And it's his decision with the speaker sometimes. What we see is not right. But constitutionally, we know that the speaker is who was elected by the members of parliament. They have to follow also the same way of removing him. It is the members of parliament to remove him.
We urge all the parties in this to really keep calm, to make sure they use peaceful way of addressing their issues. Assembly is very key. Let people discuss politely. This time, at least citizens of this state would like to hear that this issue that in the ears of the people may be listened in differently. This one must be addressed peacefully. People really should, our leaders should demonstrate leadership so that they come and talk on the table. Let people talk and let us use now polite language.
We really urge the government to speak, to open the parliament so that issues like insecurity and this economic crisis will be tackled.
People are not suffering on the grounds, and the effects what affecting us is because of the high rate from the market, which cause some people also to drop off from their works. And you find that most of the people are now going out from our countries because of the high rate. This was the first things which we were to put across. And you will find there is legal killing of people in this Sudan of ours.
The Imotong State Assembly was supposed to open in March, but was delayed. Now, Governor Alberio has refused to officially open the house. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
South African President Jacob Zuma was booed off the stage yesterday as he tried to address a meeting of the country's largest labor union. Tuso Kumalo reports from Johannesburg. Analysts see evidence of deepening rifts in the ruling African National Congress and Zuma's increasing isolation.
When President Zuma arrived at the main event of the May Day celebrations in Bloemfontein, Free State Province, to deliver his speech to thousands of workers, a section cheered him. But a larger group sang and chanted anti-Zuma slogans. Zuma left the event without uttering a word. Organizers aborted the rally. In the past, such disruptions have come from the opposition and anti-Zuma groups, but this time it came from the members of the Congress of the South African Trade Unions, who are largely ANC supporters. Political analyst Soma Totafikeni says pressure is mounting on the ANC to deal with Zuma, who has been battered by corruption scandals.
If ANC can't begin to imagine a post-Zuma ANC, then South Africa will begin to get used to a post-ANC South Africa. And that is the political cost of not reflecting on some of the weaknesses attracted by the president from one time to the other.
The presidency has not issued a statement about the incident Monday, but Free State Province ANC Chairman Ace Magashule remains adamant Zuma is not going anywhere until his term expires in 2019.
The ANC says this is the man who must be leading the country and our masses will say so, and they have said so. They have voted Zuma. There's no way you can say Zuma must go, because if you say so, who are you?
But Monday's incident points to tensions within the ANC's alliance partners, COSATU and the South African Communist Party. The two publicly called on Zuma to resign last month after a controversial cabinet reorganization. Analysts say the alliance, which has assisted ANC to win all national elections since 1994, may be in danger. The opposition greeted Monday's events enthusiastically. Economic Freedom Fighters spokesperson Mbuyiseni Ndlozi called it a boost for the upcoming no-confidence vote against Zuma in parliament.
We are very inspired, and we will sustain their effort in making sure that Zuma is not legitimized when we go back to parliament. We'll make sure that that particular action and sentiment expressed finds articulation in parliament.
Meanwhile, the Constitutional Court is considering an opposition request for the no-confidence vote to be a secret ballot. The ANC holds a majority in parliament, but analysts say a secret ballot could see parliament members from SACP, COSATU, and even the ANC join the opposition. Tuso Kumalo for VOA News, Johannesburg.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Alamas Sudan by Mo Attack Mo. We have been listening to Mo Attack Mo with the song Alamas Sudan. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.